2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Friday, this is the MLB and NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. Once again, folks, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm the host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Shy Moshe at Mr. Bear here. So we gotta be a little productive with our time today. So MLB, NBA on the same podcast. Don't worry, folks. You will get the time down there for the split, in case you just want to listen to one half in particular. But you know, we'd love to have you along for both sides here. Bear gonna be doing the NBA version of this today. I'm gonna be doing the MLB portion. I gotta be doing the important Keith type work on the domination station this weekend for baseball. So. They just the higher brass just told, they said, hey, you stay baseball, bro.
Yeah, you're an important man these days.
Well, these days, you know, not overall, but you know, you got to step into that role one weekend, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
So you feeling good, confident for NBA tonight?
I am. I've got some sneaky plays that I'm working on here for the fellas, and I think we have like one woman in our group.
Yeah. Hey, ladies. Oh, hey.
She's great, too. I'm ready. Absolutely.
All right, cool. So we're gonna start out with the NBA first tonight. Hey, their season's been going longer. You know, they get seniority here. But what of importance tonight? What are we looking at to begin with?
Well, there are some games on both conferences. So the Pacers, the Heat, and the Wizards. Mm-hmm. The Sixers and the Cavs. I mean, across the board, man. So Cleveland and Philly are pretty much tied. The Cavs are up a half a game, mm-hmm. which is one game in the win column. And guess who they're playing?
Each other. Which team is this? Oh, look at that. Would you look at that?
So that's going to be interesting. You know, they're obviously the Sixers aren't healthy, but neither are the Cavs. So we'll have to see how that goes. But that's going to be an interesting game. I think Ben Simmons comes out with something to prove. You know, I'm here, make my mark on the league. I know LeBron gets all the hype, but, you know, it's my turn kind of thing. Not that he doesn't get enough freaking hype. But.
Sure. So you also had, I know that the Cavs there, back end of a back-to-back, they played that very entertaining last night game on TNT against the Wizards with the comeback there. So that should be a very interesting one there. You already said they're, you know, similarly positioned there in the playoff push. So, yeah, it should be a good one here tonight. LeBron really rolling down the stretch. Is he? You consider him a must this evening?
I don't see how you don't play him. I mean, a lot of people say, "Oh, he's going to have Covington on him." He don't give a crap. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of him and Simmons, because I don't think they have any of their point guards back. I know Calderon was questionable, but if he doesn't sit, I mean, they literally started him at the point guard last night, LeBron. Mm. So, not that he's not the point guard anyways, no matter what technicality he starts, he's still the point guard, but you know, he starts at the small forward or power forward, but he runs the point. So yeah, it's gonna be, I mean, everything they do is gonna go through him, man. So I don't see how you don't play him. He's 11,400. The only way I might shy away is if he was like 13K, but he's not. So I don't mind it at all. Should be interesting.
I was going to say, what's the famous saying? If the queen had balls, she'd be the king?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Heat are facing the team from your current state of residence.
New Jersey?
Nah, kind of. I mean, they're kind of similar, but... technically, the Nets are...
Okay. I see what you were doing there. All right. No. Now, see, there are New Yorkers who wouldn't dare set foot in the state of New Jersey. Like, it's beneath them almost. So, yes, I know some people would say, oh, yeah, you're basically a New Yorker. No, this could go the same way. If a New Yorker doesn't want to be in New Jersey, then why the hell does a New Jersey want to be a New Yorker? It's more expensive over there.
I don't think it's even close. Like... Nuts over there. I've been there. I know. So that's going to be, I don't want to say a cakewalk of a game. I mean, the Knicks still have some of their scores available. I think Beasley's available. Tim Hardaway Jr. is available. They've got Trey Burke available. I don't think Cantor will play, but he's trying to.
I saw Daffel for that one.
Yeah, he's probably going to be. I think he could probably play if he needed to, right? But they're not going to. Why? For what reason?
Can't that same guy that showed up to a game on crutches and played the same night.
That guy. That was when they actually mathematically had a chance, right? They don't. So the Heat still need to win games. Right now they are in sixth place. A game behind them is the Wizards. They're significantly behind the Pacers, like four whole games. So, yeah, I mean, they still need to win. They can't just outright lose. Something to think about when it comes to the Heat. So now if you look at the top, the Celtics, we found out yesterday that Kyrie's out for the season, which is unfortunate for the Celtics, unfortunate for him.
I don't know if you remember, but I said before, like, weeks or months before, weeks or a month before it was officially announced yesterday, I heard somebody say that there was a good possibility that Kyrie – could possibly miss the whole season. It wasn't definite, but there's a good possibility that could happen, and yes, came to fruition. I was on the course yesterday when I heard, and I was like, oh, I said this weeks ago. And I was right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I hear you. Makes plenty of sense to me. Just not the way they were, you know, presenting it.
Just absolute tough break, you know, with Hayward going down day one, and then – you know, all this stuff with Kyrie. I mean, hell, the whole season, you know, the Celtics have been dealing with injuries. But, I mean, they're still right there, right in the thick of it. So
yeah, I mean, they can still even technically hit the first seed, although it's going to be a long – so what I'm getting at, though, with Kyrie being out is you might want the Heat now to drop to seventh so they can face the Celtics because where they're currently at, they're facing the Cavs. I don't know that they don't want that.
Oh, they love them some Cavs.
They do. But realistically, I think Spoelstra is like, I'll take a Kyrie-less Boston.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because you got guys like Satoransky, Saric, where they've been openly admitted, like, no, we don't want the Cavs. No, hell no.
Yeah, because they're smart. So anyways, that's something to think about. And then... you've got the Pistons, so for everybody that is asking, the Pistons are mathematically eliminated. They cannot make the playoffs no matter what. They shut down...
Blake Griffin?
Nope. The small forward there.
Oh, Bullock.
Yes. They shut him down for the rest of the season, which is four games. I know it sounds bad when you say rest of the season. It's only four games. So he gone. And then, they're going to be starting Luke Kennard for the rest of the season. I know the whole season, all four games.
Duke!
And he's been playing really, really well. He started off kind of like, that guy's not very good. And then, obviously, he's been working hard. He's still young. He's still a rookie. He's been practicing, playing really hard, rather. I've seen him start to take the ball to the hoop a lot, way more than he's ever have this season. So good for him. I'm happy for him. I think he can do well there.
I was going to say, too, I mean, that's exactly how his season at Duke went. You know, like he really, you know, wasn't all that great at the beginning. But as the season went along, you were like, oh, yeah, that guy's going to the NBA. Like, no doubt about it. So, you know, if he's a late developer, that's all right. I mean, he's a rookie, yeah. But at this point, I mean, he's had games where he's been very productive. So now that he's going to be the if-so facto guy in that role with Bullock out there, absolutely.
Right.
And I dig that. There were a couple statistically favorable things going on tonight. So I saw that, you know, the Hornets are playing the Magic. You know, the Hornets are going to have a major rebounding advantage, the guys on the Magic, just the rebounding numbers there, or the ratings looked pretty good in the Hornets' favor. And also, too, let's not forget, we've got the two teams that are tied for the fastest pace in the NBA right now. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns facing off tonight.
Yeah, you left something out really important in that Hornets game.
Oh, no.
Dwight going up against the Magic?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well,
that's
all right, here's my thing, right? Because I know Charlotte's statistically eliminated, so I wasn't sure if it was going to be a full dose of Dwight or if it was going to be like a half gallon of Dwight, you know?
That I 100% agree with. And we, unfortunately, we don't know. But I think it's worth having some exposure because he's probably one of the most petty guys in the league, so he definitely wants to do that. So that's that. That's in the East. Heading over to the Wild Wild West.
Yeehaw.
I mean, man, that's pretty nuts what's going on there. So the Timberwolves are on a back-to-back. They play the Lakers. The Lakers, who are eliminated. However, they are not intent on losing games.
Brooklyn and Jace.
Yes, exactly. And like I mentioned, they're on back-to-back. They probably get Jimmy Butler back tonight. He was available yesterday. Thibodeau said he probably could have played, but we felt it was wiser to wait one more day. So that's today.
Okay.
So Butler's going to play. We have him at 25 minutes. Now, look, Thibodeau is a maniacal man, so he plays the hell out of his players, like, a lot. So I don't know. He could end up seeing more minutes. The thing about – and they absolutely have to win. They are tied right now with Denver for the eighth spot. They have the tiebreaker over Denver. So they're technically in the eighth and Denver's in the ninth, even though they have identical records. The Pelicans get Phoenix today, and they're a half a game ahead of Minnesota. And then a half a game above New Orleans is the Thunder, who are tied with the Spurs. And the Spurs have the tiebreaker. So the Spurs are in fifth. The Thunder are in sixth with the same record. It's crazy. And then Utah is only one whole game above the Spurs and the Thunder. Mm. So between third and eighth is a difference of four games total.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. So the Jazz, who are in fourth place right now, if they go on a bad streak, they're out of playoffs. They're currently in fourth place with four games to go.
Jeez.
It's insane.
All right. Very exciting stuff. 6 minutes ago, we got the word that, you know, probably knew we were going to hear all day, but Devin Booker's out for tonight's game here against the Pelicans. We've got that there. Okay. So we've got all those matchups there. Anything else that's important to know for this slate tonight?
So the teams that we didn't mention, the ones that are not playing for pretty much anything, meaning the teams that don't have the teams that have a draft pick, right? So the Nets, the Lakers, they don't have one. They're going to win. They're going to play. So those teams that are out, you can actually play them. Maybe not all of them because, you know, they still want to take a look at some of the younger players there. The teams that are not the Mavericks, the Kings, the Grizzlies, the Suns, who's in the West? The Knicks, the Bulls, the Hornets, the Pistons, the Magic. Those guys will be letting you know in our Slack channel what we hear about. Because at this time of year, they want to look, and I put that in air quotes here, they want to look at their younger players.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see what they got. They want to see, are they going to keep them? For example, the Nets the Grizzlies with Marshawn Brooks, right? They wanted to see, can the guy play or not? They gave him like 30 minutes and he balled out. They signed him for 2 years, right? So you're going to see some of that stuff. Keep an eye out for those guys. Keep an eye out for which one of those youngsters / 10-day contract guys are going to get some run. We'll let you know who those guys are. I've already got a couple here written down that I think we can take advantage of.
Oh, are you saving it for later?
Yeah, I am, for our paid customers.
Jeez, man. That's hot. That's hot info right off the presses right there. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, anything else you want to talk about? I mean, I know we were trying to keep it short today, but I don't know. I mean, anything else?
So, I think Terry Rozier is back, if I'm not mistaken. I've got him out over 30 minutes. I'm trying to look here. Is there a reason why the Celtics have to win? No, I mean, they might be able to catch Toronto for the first seed. So I don't know if they're realistically trying to do that or if they're kind of happy where they are, because I don't see them falling. I mean, they can't lose all their games because if the Cavs win, let me see, where are they, 4.5? No, I think they're pretty much locked into that second seed. So just be mindful of that. Let's see, what else do we got here?
The one thing I was definitely doing today, I definitely got to have me some Anthony Davis. I mean, going up against that Suns team tonight, just looking at who's available for the Suns. There's no big sauce. I saw that. No sauce is on the table tonight.
No, there's no sauce, baby.
So, no hot sauce on your burrito, baby. Yeah. he ain't in tonight. So, that should be a absolute smash spot.
It should be.
I was thinking about that because, you know, if that's probably going to be the guy that I pay up for on DraftKings, it's funny. That's the only site I've been playing NBA on lately since baseball got here. But I'm trying to manage everything. But I think that's probably the one guy that I'm going to have to go with. You know, being that LeBron on the back end of the back-to-back. I mean, this is a spot where AD could potentially put up like 80 points tonight. Not real ones, fantasy. That'd be a record.
I mean, either one works for me. Sure. Here's the thing about the Pelicans. They still have to win. So they have to win. They are still at risk of not making the playoffs. Right, which would be a disaster for them and their, demands to make to keep AD happy. That's the first thing. Second thing is they are notorious all season for keeping games close against teams that are not supposed to be close, a.k.a. Phoenix. I think Josh Jackson should absolutely have a field day versus these guys in this pace. Running up and down the court, that's what he loves to do. I don't like him as much in half-court games, slower-paced games, but he should absolutely have a field day. I mean, Ulis should be a decent play. I might have like 100% of him today. I mean, if you are concerned that the game's not going to be close and AD won't play in the fourth quarter, I'm not paying $13K. However, I don't believe that it's going to be that ugly. Even if it's in the 15, 18-point range, they're not going to risk them coming back because they have got to win all of these games.
Yeah. And like I one of my favorite sayings of all time, I might get it tattooed on my forehead, but, you know, blowouts get there for a reason. So, you know, I'm sure AD is going to be the one doing the damage to get at that point.
Can I tell you, blowouts really, really cost me yesterday.
Yeah.
I had about 40 lineups in the main GPP, and I picked Donovan Mitchell, and I picked Rudy Gobert. And I had, like, a lot of those guys. And I was up the top, and Gobert got to 40. And then all of a sudden, we hear that Rubio's out. I'm like, when Rubio's out, Mitchell is a monster.
Yeah.
And against the Clippers, of all teams, I'm like, yes! And I'm climbing, and I'm climbing, and I'm climbing, and they're up at like 28, and I'm like, crap. And they didn't see the fourth quarter. I'm like, crap.
Damn. You got the bear trap.
What can you do? It happens.
You know who didn't disappoint last night? My Brooklyn Nets.
That was amazing.
Yeah, man.
I had like 60% crab, so I was happy.
I have my best friend who like rarely watches NBA, he's like, bro, I'm at the gym and I'm watching this game. He's like, you guys really aren't that bad. I'm like, I'm aware, man.
They really aren't. I mean, the record sucks, but they've had injuries all season.
I know.
They've been in a lot of really close games that the win next season. Okay, so we talked about AD. I have a little bit of a concern with some other guys here. Andre Drummond.
Okay.
I mean, look, he's in a – versus Dallas, like, what a spot for him. Sure. But he's just – he's checked out. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been there. And he's still over 10K. I don't want to have zero exposure because you might want to say, you know what, coach, this is my last game. I'm going to go out the bang. And coach will be like, go get it. And he'll put up 80. You know, it could happen. But
sure.
At the same time, it's probably unlikely. So I might have to really lower my exposure to Drummond. Lower than I want to. I'm going to have a lot of Josh Jackson. I'm going to have a lot of Karl Anthony Towns, a lot of Ben Simmons, a lot of Tyler Ulis. There's one more guy I wanted to talk to you about.
Olden Polonese?
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
So we've got to see. So Saric is questionable.
Yes.
That's if he plays, I'm really liking me some Saric in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Might even like Ben Simmons even more. Might take people off him a little bit more, but Simmons does well with help around him, considering the kind of player that he is.
Sure.
So I like that. There are two super interesting centers that are going to hit value today.
Hold on, real quick before you get to the centers, I was going to say with Saric out, the Covington, Redick, Bellinelli, all those guys, very appealing.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to lean towards Rishaun Holmes.
All right.
Even, but he's a little bit priced up.
There could be more than one favorable person.
Oh, there's a bunch. Yeah, absolutely. I think so. We've been seeing Bellinelli at almost 30 minutes, every single game that Saric has been out. And Cleveland loves to play small with Love at the five. So, you know, that they'll need some more small ball.
That was something that I recognize. I remember we talked about it on the pod one day that when Embiid went out, it was that night that they really kept Bellinelli in there a lot. That really stuck out to me, and they've kept going with it. So
it's worked.
Yep.
I mean, he's another threat. I mean, you've got him on one side and then J.J. Redick. I mean, two deadly shooters. That's for Ben Simmons to pass to. That's really nice.
I don't have the NBA up right now, but what's Covington's price on FanDuel?
Rocco. Whoa. 68.
All right, because the other night when I might be the LeBron fade whisperer now because it's been two times in a row that I actually – because I really hate putting that fade in my wingman article. I feel like I put way too much pressure on the guy to suck, and they end up doing too well. But the last two times I had LeBron in the fade section, it really helped out not to have him. But the point I'm trying to make here is that a guy like Covington, I mean, if Saric is going to be out, Covington becomes almost as valuable as LeBron. That sounds so ridiculous to say, but at that same position for a much cheaper price.
Yeah, like them, just like something a lot less.
It's mainly for the role that Covington is. You know, like January Robert Covington is not, you know, the kind of Covington I'm saying being as valuable as LeBron. It's just the situation that he's in right now.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
All right.
So some of these value centers. So Mark Gasol is out, probably not going to play again this season. Who knows how his future looks like in Memphis? We'll see. But as our fearless leader, Guy calls him Daytona Davis, which his name is Deontay Davis, but he loves to call him Daytona.
I can get down with Daytona.
He's minimum price on FanDuel. He's playing Sacramento. He's playing over. He's going to play over 30 minutes a game, or tonight rather. Minimum price. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Well, I know what I could ask for from Daytona Davis. Not another dud, because this, you know, I don't know what it – back in January, I remember, because I was down in Florida, I remember. He took on the Knicks one day, like, without Gasol, without anybody. He was supposed to have a smash spot, and I think he put up, like, 8.4.
Yeah.
Something along those lines would piss me off. But, you know, look, there's that's a situation right now in Memphis where they have – One, two, three, four. They have seven people out. That's not even including Conley and the other idiots that hardly played this year. But
right.
Yeah, they're the walking dead.
Yeah, it's tough. I agree. Yeah. And then Sacramento wants to lose. So, I mean, either way, he's going to play no matter what the score, no matter what the scenario, the guy's going to play. So that's something to keep in mind. And then an interesting thought on one Alex Len.
Yes.
I'm interested in him. I am because, I mean, yeah, he's not minimum price. He's 4,800, but with Big Sauce out and New Orleans having some bigs there that they need some help with to defend, you know, you can get 25, 28 minutes from Len in a fast-paced game against the Pelicans. They don't play much D down low. Might be interesting.
Yep. And absolutely, I'm just, you know, taking a look at the depth chart right now that I put together. And, you know, who really can play center for this team? And not, you know, that's not really the main argument you want to go with on a given night. But keep in mind who the Suns are playing tonight. You need some sort of length going up against Anthony Davis. So Marquese Chriss will probably get 3 fouls in the first 30 seconds. Dragan Bender will be not too far behind. And then Alex Len is really all you got.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's what do we call that? The addition by subtraction. There you go.
Yeah.
As they said on NBA Jam many moons ago, boom shakalaka.
I love that game. That game.
Did you see that ESPN started doing NBA Jam based commercials?
I think I've seen that. Yeah.
For their games. Oh man, I was hella souped, bro.
All right.
So is that all the NBA for the day?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. All right, so as we are here at the, I guess the 26 minute mark, almost about that, you know, we'll start talking about MLB, and this is going to be a fairly simple slate tonight. We already only have, you know, what do we got? 7 games, and I think 3 of these are going to get nixed out by the weather. So Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, you got a 40 to 70% chance of rain / snow / you know whatever kinds of things. You know, so we got that going on there. If you wanted to dip out, you could. I don't think the call will drop. I don't know. Actually, if
I'm gonna mute.
Stay. All right, that's perfect. There we go. Everybody say goodbye to Bear. Bye.
He gone.
Sorry. So with this game tonight, you've got you know, the 40 to 70% chance of rain. I don't think they're gonna play it. It is Pittsburgh in early April, so I doubt we'll get that. Also, Los Angeles Dodgers at the San Francisco Giants, you got a 90%+ chance of rain. I mean, it's going to be like an all-day sort of thing, so we can nix that one out too. And then there is one in question. It's Toronto at Texas, and this is actually a very popular game, or what could be a very popular game if we're looking at it. But here's the interesting thing. So throughout the course of the game, you're going to have like a 30 to 40% chance of thunderstorms. But if you look ahead, at the end of the night, it goes down to 15 and basically just goes away. So if anything, you know, if that storm passes a little quicker, they could probably play that game a little later. So be on alert for that one, because I'm very interested in some bats in that game, which we'll get to as well. But everything else, Baltimore at the Yankees, Cubs at Milwaukee, Padres at Houston, Oakland at the Angels, all these other games should play. So that gives us a nice little base of about 4 to 5 games to work with here. We'll start out with the pitcher tonight. Obviously, Lance McCullers probably going to be 99.99999999% owned going up against the San Diego Padres today. Astros, at the last time I looked, -275 favorites on the money line. That is by far the highest on this slate. You got to think that the element of the unknown here is very appealing. So McCullers and the Astros, of course, an AL team, they really don't face this Padres team that often. Huge advantage to the pitcher in that regard. And there's only 3 Padres that have actually faced McCullers over the course of their career. That's AJ Ellis, Chase Headley, Eric Hosmer. Now, in combined 19 appearances at the plate against Lance McCullers here. They're 2-for-19 with a combined 8 strikeouts as well. So I think Vegas, I think the matchup, everything here is going to be quite appealing here for McCullers. I think the only reason that you get off of McCullers tonight is to just get off of ownership. I don't really care how highly owned he's going to be. I just think he's going to be the most successful pitcher out of anybody else on this slate. So yeah, I'm going to eat the chalk in this regard. This, folks, is what they call good chalk. If we're looking at any other GPP pitchers on the slate, you know, CC Sabathia might be interesting. He's got good and bad here, though, so you kind of got to weigh what you want here. The most important thing, I think, to note is that the Orioles have handled CC Sabathia pretty well, or they've hit him pretty well. Manny Machado, Adam Jones, they have hit CC Sabathia very well over the course of his career. So if CC can avoid any success from those type of guys tonight, I think he can be all right. Now, the Yankees lost last night. A funny statistic from last season, CC Sabathia was 10-0 with a 1.69 ERA and 13 starts after a Yankees loss last year. So you do wonder if, you know, that sort of fire still burns within him. I don't, you know, CC Sabathia, a very competitive guy. I think he can do well against the Orioles tonight. The Orioles do have the highest K rate so far at 28.7% this season, as early as it is. Could mean something. So, you know, that's the top GPP arm that I'm looking at. You've also got Kevin Gausman. Another funny stat about him, he was 1-2 with a 9.27 ERA against the Yankees last season. I think a lot of that was from one start in the Bronx where he just got absolutely destroyed in that game. So it was one bad start, but overall, the whole scope of it wasn't that great. Now, what's funny about this, about Gausman, is that in 2016, he ends up going 3-1 with a 1.10 ERA over 6 starts against the Yankees. So all of that could be good and dandy. I think those would be the GPP pitchers that I would choose from tonight, but also know that both sides here could make for a good stack. As I said, it's going to be Lance McCullers pretty much everywhere for me, but if you do want to get a little sneaky, I do think that either CC or Gausman does have the highest upside of any of the other pitchers. I really liked both pitchers in that Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game. Luis Castillo always has very good strikeout upside. Can be a little erratic at times, but I don't think it matters. He's not even going to take the mound today because the weather's going to be so shitty. So we really don't even have to worry about that. And just looking at some other games around the docket tonight, remember that Toronto-Texas game does have a little bit of weather concerns there. So we're going to have a much better idea of what's going to happen with this game, you know, once we get closer to game time. As of right now, I do think that they can play late, and, you know, that could be good news for these Toronto bats. Josh Donaldson has some pretty good short-term BVP against Matt Moore. Russell Martin does here as well. But I just think the overall scope of it is that Matt Moore is really not that great of a pitcher. He's had his days in the sun before. But you look at what Vegas has to say about this. Toronto, they have the highest implied team total of the day at 5.5. Them along with the Houston Astros taking on Louis Padermo. But I think the Toronto way is much better to go here. You know, if we're looking at Houston as the other chalk option, you know, which they probably will become the chalk stack option if you know, if this Toronto-Texas game doesn't play out. Houston also with the 5.5 implied run total here. So in that game, they're taking on Luis Padermo. And the thing about Padermo over the course of his career, he's absolutely sucked against left-handed bats. But, you know, the Houston Astros, they don't really carry too many of them. You'll see a couple guys in that lineup there, like a Josh Reddick sounds pretty appealing, Brian McCann. You know, we'll have to see what the rest of the lineup looks like tonight. But, you know, you do know that the core of their lineup, typically Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Correa, those are all right-handed bats. But, you know, you wonder how much Houston exposure you do want to have tonight, especially if you're going to go with McCullers. I know on FanDuel it doesn't really matter, you know, the kind of stack, you know, because you could roll the pitcher out there with four hitters from that same team. But, you know, again, I don't really like to go too lopsided on one team with everything, especially for pitching and hitting. you know, other teams that you could look at tonight, Oakland A's, they do only have a 4.3 implied run team, implied run total tonight. But you do got a couple guys there that have hit Bridwell well in a limited number of appearances, Matt Olson being one of them. You know, Jed Lowry, another guy that could potentially get on base. I like Oakland tonight. I know, you know, you're probably not going to find a lot of agreement on that from other places. But, again, you kind of got to look at some different spots here when trying to pick some trying to pick some different ways to go on such a short slate here tonight. Bruce Maxwell, a catcher here that's done well against Birdwell, 3-for-4 with the homer, you know, just in a couple limited bats there. So I don't mind that part either. I got another game that's going to be pretty interesting here. Look at the Chicago Cubs, Milwaukee Brewers. We initially had the opening run total here at 9, has since come down to 8.5. But, you know, I think I'm going to be more appealing, or I'm going to be more appealed by the bats in this one. You know, Kyle Hendricks pitching for the Cubs tonight, not necessarily a strikeout pitcher, but he does pitch pretty well. You know, just hitting his spots, kind of sort of like a Greg Maddux. I'm not comparing the guy to Greg Maddux, but in terms of how he goes about getting his job done, I would certainly say it's Maddux adjacent in that regard. You know, you could take your chance with some of these Milwaukee bats, but I think I would much rather go there with the Cubs tonight. You know, these two teams are probably going to be battling out for the NL Central all season long. So I think that, you know, this could be a pretty fun game. I know a lot of people might want to drift towards that Orioles-Yankees game. You know, certainly no, not going to fault you for going there. You got two pitchers that can get blown up. And, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, they, you know, they could very well pitch a good game here tonight. I think overall for me, though, it's going to be Toronto. I'm going to be doing the whatever the anti-rain dance is in hopes that that this goes on. One thing that you could look at, too, here, if you don't want to go with Toronto, I don't even mind the other side of that game with Texas. Again, I know the game got to play, but already the total right now is up to 10.5, so that could certainly be something to look out for. One other guy that I really just wanted to mention, Aaron Judge, over the course of his career against the Baltimore Orioles, that is going to be a you know, certainly another favorable spot. He just homered again last night, so I don't mind that. And I don't know if you guys were listening to the opening day MLB podcast where we did, you know, more strategy-based type of things. But Keith was mentioning on there that I like to look at some of these absolutely ridiculous, crazy splits that we got going on in baseball. So, of course, I had to see what hitters did yesterday on Fridays. And wouldn't you know it, two of the best people out there on a Friday playing in tonight's game at Yankee Stadium tonight. So one of those people, Giancarlo Stanton, actually led the majors in homers on Fridays last season at 11. And you've also got Manny Machado there who was there at 10 homers on Fridays last season, which was second most in MLB. So that stuck out. A couple guys making contact. This was another thing that I mentioned on that opening day podcast. Elvis Andrews, only one strikeout in 33 plate appearances this season. Guess what? The guy did well on Fridays last year, too. He had the second best batting average in all of baseball on Fridays last year at 350 over there. Angelton Simmons, not a bad guy, too, we could be looking at here. Hasn't had too much power yet or extra base hits, but he is hitting 379 and only struck out once in 30 plate appearances this season. So look out for a couple of those guys at shortstop. You know, that could be a good spot. Another narrative-based play tonight. Travis Shaw ends up getting ejected in last night's game. I mentioned this a couple times in NBA. A guy gets ejected. He comes back hot the next night, you know, looking to knock the world's head off. It's a decent situation, you know, something similar like that tonight. And, you know, he's also got some pretty good BVP against Kendricks here. 4-for-12 career, three extra base hits, two of those going for homers against him. So that might not be a bad play to go with. Looking at second baseman here tonight, too, you've got Jose Altuve leading the majors in hits so far this season with 12. So we can certainly take that. And I think that'll probably do it here. I know today...
Something to add real quick, Al?
Oh, here we go.
San Francisco looks like it's postponed.
San Francisco and the Dodgers, they gone. They are gone. All right, so that is the report today for all the podcasts. Once again, you like what you heard today, you want to hear more of it, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST for 10% off each monthly subscription. For me, Bear, and the rest of the Army, we gone. All right.
All right, man.
All right, later.
Later on.